In our second reading today, St. Paul addresses this to Timothy. And it's different than a lot of the letters that St. Paul wrote where he addressed them to entire communities. But this one is going directly to one person. And he says to Timothy, stir into flame the gift of God that comes through the imposition of his hands. He said it's a spirit not of cowardice, but of power, of love, and of self-control. So what is he talking about in this passage? Timothy was ordained as a bishop by Paul, and he became the first bishop of the city of Ephesus. And that's why St. Paul says the gift that comes through the imposition of my hands. The laying on of hands was part of the ordination rite. And St. Paul goes on to teach about the truths of the faith that he was entrusted, him and the other apostles were entrusted with. And he says to Timothy, do not be ashamed of the gospel. But he says, guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so what he's talking about is that Jesus Christ had entrusted this body of teachings to his apostles. And St. Paul, after ordaining Timothy as a bishop, in turn entrusts those teachings to Timothy. And he says to guard this rich trust of teachings with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so what we see is that in Scripture, it's testifying about the establishment of the church, and in particular of the ordination of bishops, and how the truths of the faith would be passed on from Jesus Christ to his apostles, here to the first generation of bishops. And from then, they continued to be passed on generation to generation down to our bishops today. Every one of our bishops is ordained in an unbroken line of the laying on of hands all the way back to at least one of the original apostles and from the apostles back to Jesus Christ. And these teachings are handed on not just by human beings, but through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guarantees that they remain uncorrupted. And this is a rich trust. We call it in the church the deposit of faith. These teachings that the Lord has given to us that are precious because we could never come up with them ourselves. These are things that are revealed by God himself. In the gospel, it talks about faith. And the disciples of Christ say, increase our faith. And we can certainly talk about faith in Jesus Christ. But it's also important for us to talk about faith in his church and his mystical body. Because sometimes it's very difficult to have faith in the church. You know, sometimes it's easier for us just to say we have faith in God, but not in his mystical body, the church. And a lot of times we can focus simply on the human elements of the church. You know, when we come to this parish, you know, sometimes it's easier to just focus on what we can see. You know, sometimes we can get lost in just paying attention to the people around us. You know, sometimes the people that really, really annoy us. You know, if there's someone singing out of key, or, you know, the priest who just keeps preaching and preaching, and you're like, how long is he going on up there? You know, when is he going to land that plane? You know, it's easy for us to focus on the human elements. Or, you know, if we see people who aren't necessarily living up to the teachings of the church. And, you know, if we focus on these things, we can lose sight of the reality that there's something greater going on here. Or sometimes, you know, we don't have the level of faith and we just focus on the human elements and we don't see what's truly happening. You know, when we look at the church throughout our nation, you know, it's easy to get discouraged by the numbers of people that are falling away from the practice of the faith. And this is not something that's limited just to the Catholic Church, but it's, you know, across religions in our nation. You know, but a recent study said for every one person who enters into the church, there's six people that fall away from the faith. And it's easy for us to ask, you know, is the Holy Spirit really active here? Is this really the mystical body of Christ? You know, how long is this going to last? Or when we look at the church throughout the world, you know, certainly there have been a lot of members of the church who have fallen into sin and they've caused great scandal. Or we hear about bishops who are dissenting against church teaching or trying to change church teaching or change church practices in a way that goes against the teachings of the church. We can ask, you know, is our Lord still with the church? And, you know, as we hear in the first reading, how long is this going to last? throughout time, there have been a lot of people that have fallen away from the church. And starting about 500 years ago, entire groups broke away in the Protestant Reformation. And they thought, well, if we break away from the church, we can do a better job on our own. We can make our own church, and we can do better than the church that Christ founded, and we can do it on our own. Is that really true? There's no, church out there that's suddenly perfect and not affected by sin. Or other people leave the church behind and they reject organized religion entirely. That way they don't have to deal with others, and the only person they have to put faith in is themselves. But the reality is we cannot come up with a faith ourselves, and we can't pass it on ourselves. No one can just sit down by themselves and come up with the Trinity and the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ and the sacrament of baptism. Nobody just comes up with these things on their own. We receive them through the church. And so, the question is, do we have faith, not just in Jesus Christ, but in the midst of all the weaknesses and the darkness that we see in the world, do we have faith in the words of Jesus Christ, who said to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Do we have faith in the words of Jesus Christ that he will never abandon his church and that the Holy Spirit is not going to fail the church? And amidst all the weaknesses and all the human elements of the church, that it is still the mystical body of Jesus Christ and he will never abandon the church. And that the Catholic Church is God's instrument of salvation for the entire human race and it will never fail. Do we have faith in the words and the promise of Jesus Christ and in his church? And in the first reading, it says, how long is this going to last? But it goes on to say that there will come a time of fulfillment and the Lord will not disappoint. There is going to come a time of a new springtime within the church, and Jesus Christ is going to fulfill every one of the promises he's made to the church. And if we look at our community here, it's more than just a bunch of people who have come together to pray. What's happening here is that we have access to the same truths that Jesus Christ gave to his original apostles. And the power of Jesus Christ is at work within the sacraments. Every time a child is baptized, every time we come here and we're nourished by the Eucharist, the power of God is at work purifying us and drawing us to greater and to deeper holiness. And it's a promise that if we remain faithful to our Lord, that he will bring us to salvation. And so do we trust in the Lord's promise? We pray that the Lord may increase our faith. The same question that the disciples said in today's gospel, increase our faith. We pray that the Lord may increase our faith so that we can see that the power of God that's at work, not just within the church throughout the world, but within our parish here, within the sacraments, within the evangelization groups that have started. More and more people are hearing the gospel. God is at work. And so we pray that the Lord may increase our faith so that we may see not just the human elements of the church, but that we can see God at work and we can see his promise coming to fulfillment.